Romans chapter 15 and verse number 12. And again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want to say good evening to the church. It's wonderful again for us to be here. And God has certainly allowed us to be here yet to see another day on this side of the living. And what a wonderful blessing that is for our lives. We're going to get right to it as to why we should study God's word. The title of the lesson is, study God's word for what? For what? Why should we just do that? Bible study for what? We want to read to you from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. And it says in chapter 8, in verse number 1, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and of women, and all that could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood up in the pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mithathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Urijah, Hilkiah, Messiah, and on his right hand and on his left hand, Pedadiah, and Mishael, Malchiah, and Hashum, and Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Verse number 8. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Verse number 13. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests, the Levites, and to Ezra, the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth into the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and bent branches of thick trees to make booths as it is written. So the people went up forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, and in their courts of the house of God, in the street of the water gate, in the streets of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that will come again out of the captivity made booths and set under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until that day had not the children of Israel done so, and there was very great gladness. Also, day by day, from the first unto the last, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according to the manner. Why study the Bible? Bible study for what? You know, time and time again, we think that we know what it is that God wants for our lives. But God reveals what he wants for our lives through his word. You know, for 70 years, you find that these people had came out of Babylonian captivity. And for 70 years, they did what they thought was right in the sight of God. And Nehemiah got together with the priests and the Levites and called all the people of God together, and he read the word of God in the ears of all the people that were present. And what they understood from that is that studying the word of God at that particular time made them understand that for 70 years they wasn't doing what God had required them to do. So why study God's word? So that we can be approved by God. That we can do the things that God has called us to do for 70 years. I don't know how long it is that you've been a Christian. But there might be some things in your life that you thought that you were doing right, but until the time that you looked into God's word, you discovered that you just wasn't doing it the way that God had called you to do it. That was the case. That was the case on that day. And Nehemiah stood up and allowed the people to understand that they had not built booths on their rooftops for 70 years, and it was required by God that they do that. And they did. It was understood, and they did. Some people look into God's word and they understand what they want to understand, and they do not. Just don't do it. Because we're so used to doing it this way. We've always done it. My mom done it that way. My dad done it that way. And here it is, 70 years. You think we're going to change? God's word requires us to change. It even requires us to change ourselves and all the things in life that we think are just priorities. All of us in our life have priorities, and these priorities are the things that we think are the most urgent and most important things in our lives. Nothing is more important than the things that we want done or need done. Absolutely nothing. But to please God, the Bible must be our priority and the study of it. When we understand how vital it is for our well-being, we're going to find a place for Bible study in our busy daily lives. We're going to find some time we can sit down and meditate on the Word of God and not just be so busy about our own business. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, one that rightly divides the word of truth. Why study the Bible? So we could be approved by God. By God. There are too many people who look into the Bible and they're familiar with all the scriptures in the Bible. They can quote it backwards and frontwards, but it's still not in them. They don't live it daily. They don't understand what God's word said. They can call out. There's a lot of people can call out the ABCs, but they can't spell. Amen? It's got to be in you. It has to be something that's learned so that you can live it. Everybody's got a priority, but is the study of God's word a priority in your life? If we are to follow Christ successfully and approve ourselves to God, we must study his word. For Bible to become profitable for us in our lives, it's got to be a priority. It cannot be relegated to last place. It can't be on the back burner. You know, I'm going to sleep right now. Let me look and take a few minutes to look at my Bible just before I go to sleep. We've got to set time in our lives like anything else. We've got to budget time in our lives to look into God's word, because only in God's word can we find the time to know who God is. We pick up biographies all the time, and those biographies are for what reason? So we can understand the life of that person that we are studying. God's word is a book about God. It's a book about God. And what's so wonderful about the book of God, when we read it, it's also a book about us. The people that God made, and that's one of the reasons why we don't want to read it, because we don't want to know about God, and we don't want to know about us. About us. But the more we know about God, the more we learn about us, and the more we should want to be a people for God by looking into his word. For years upon years upon years, we've done things that just hadn't been what God has called us to do. And by looking into his word and allowing his word to dwell within us, we can live lives of purity, lives of righteousness, lives of peace and kindness and love, only because those things are found in God's word. A lot of books that are written out there, church. A lot of books that are written. But all books pale in comparison to the biography of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. From beginning to end, we learn who God is and what God requires of us. And we learn about the love and the patience of a true and the living God. And the blessings that comes to us as a result of that. And for me, that's a wonderful thing. It is necessary. Necessary. And it's also profitable for each and every one of us to look into the study of God's word. Because how can we realize the need for Bible study when everything else takes priority over it? It ought to be a priority over the newspaper. We get it every morning. Read it diligently. It ought to be priority over those magazines we get in the mail and we just can't wait to open. It ought to be priority over the television. It ought to be priority over the internet. Facebook, Instagram, God's word ought to just dwell in our hearts continually, continually. But to have profitable Bible study, It's got to take priority over everything, over everything. In this age of power that we live, it's the one thing that's powerful enough to change the heart of man. And that's what we seek when we look into God's word. We want to change our lives. How far do we go with that change? How far do we go? It's the only thing in this world of change that endures. God's word endures forever. Material things and secular values, they ought to take second place in our lives. And they ought to take second place if we truly understand the value and the importance of God's word and studying it. Because God's word is the voice of the Holy Spirit, Hebrews 10:15. It says that the Holy Ghost is a witness to us, allowing us to understand God's word. It's able to relegate our conduct. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, we ought to know how to behave ourselves in the household of God. It warns us of coming judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says we must all stand before the judgment seat of God and give an account of the things that we have done. We can't know that unless we study God's word. It instructs us for salvation, 2 Timothy 3:15. It arouses us and reminds us how we ought to live. And it encourages us. It tells us in Romans 15:4, whatsoever was written aforetime was written for our learning, that through the patience of the scriptures, we might have hope. Through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. There's patience in the scriptures. There's comfort in the scriptures. There's love that abides for us constantly if we will just understand the need for us to study God's word. But we take time for everything else, but it just seems that we just can't find time to study our Bibles. I'm not talking about just reading it. Anybody can read it. But do you understand it and the meaning of it? You know, when you look at Acts chapter 8 and you think about the eunuch, who was a dignified man, a man who had a place on this earth. He had a position. And when Philip pulled up to the chariot and asked him, do you understand what you're reading? He didn't take offense to that. He didn't say, well, you know who I am, Philip? You know, I'm an educated man. Do you know I work for the Queen Candace? He didn't say any of that. He says, how can I understand unless someone teach me? Understanding God's word is key to understanding who God is and who we are in our lives as well. I mean, you got to understand that eunuch could have worshipped anywhere in the world he wanted to worship, because all around him was false gods, false worship, idol temples all around him. He traveled a long, long way to get to where he was for to worship God. And he came with the understanding that he was going to be fulfilled by the God that he sought. His faith was in that, and God fulfilled that for him. And he could not have known that unless he was reading God's word to ask that question. You can't ask spiritual questions and get spiritual answers if you just don't read God's word. We live with too many hypotheticals in our life. We want it to be this way and that way, and never look to see what God's will is for our lives. The eunuch is a wonderful example. How can I understand unless somebody teaches me? We've got to be in a position where we study God's word that we can teach people the will of God in our lives and in their lives as well. Salvation is key. That's our mission. It all comes from the word of God. The life-changing power of God's word is just wonderful. It's wonderful. And the power can only be felt if the truths of God are written in our hearts. But it takes study. It takes a diligent effort. It takes one to be able to look into the Bible and understand that it's the Holy Spirit that guides us and leads us to understand all truth. Gotta understand it. Here's what the Bible does for us as well. I've said it earlier. Let me just say it again. The Bible reveals to us who God is. It reveals God to man. It tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It tells us that Jesus Christ is God. He came God in the flesh and lived among us. And we beheld him and we touched him and we saw him and we lived with him and we understood that he was God and we killed him. We killed him. And we stand guilty of that. We can't know the true picture of our Creator unless Jesus the Christ comes and reveals the Father to us. Show us the Father. What do you mean, show us the Father, Philip? If you see me, you're looking at the Father, Philip. John 1:18 says, no man has ever seen God at any time. Only his beloved Son, he hath declared him. Why can't we see God? Because we're looking through the physical, fleshly eyes that we have, and God is a spirit. We have to see God through the eyes of faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes through the Word. Why study God's Word? So that we can see God and see who we are and live lives that are going to be rewarding in the end. We might live with God forever. What a long time that is, forever. When I think about forever, I just can't even imagine. Can't fathom it at all. The Bible speaks about eternity over and over and over again. And I just can't imagine what eternity is and what it would be. But the Bible gives us some kind of a clue. And we know that full well that once we close our eyes, we can't change anything about our eternity at all. But we're going to spend an eternity. It's going to be somewhere. Let's just hope that it's with God. The Bible provides a history of the civilization of man, and that God's word is a common need of all men. Life can never be what it could be without the knowledge of God. I mean, even the demons believe in God and they tremble. Life could never be what it is for us without a knowledge of God. You know, atheists say all the time, you know, I don't believe in God, but it's ridiculous to me to hear that, because you have to know that something exists in order to disbelieve in it. You can't disbelieve in nothing. God is, he exists, and you choose not to believe in him. That doesn't mean just because you atheists, they've got the wrong definition. And the Bible tells us so. That before the world began, he says, I am. And what's wonderful about it, he still is. The Bible reveals to man himself. The Bible shows us who and what we originally was. Shows us who and what we are now. And the Bible shows us what we could be. That's a wonderful thing. What we could be in Christ Jesus, what we can be, what we can be for God, for our fellow man, and all the love that comes with that package. What a wonderful ideal it is to understand that God loved us first. And because he loved us first, we love God unconditionally as well. Do we? Do we? We don't even want to read about him. Read about all these old faithful people. You know, when I was growing up as a little boy in Gramercy, couldn't wait to get to the TV to watch Daniel Boone. Daniel Boone? I look back at that now and I says, what was I crazy about Daniel Boone? God is good, amen? There's not a television program that I can go and look at right now that trumps my study of the Bible. When you fix your eyes on Christ and study God's word, there should be nothing else in this life that you should want except a desire and a thirst to continue to study God's word. Study it for what? So we could be approved of by God. Isn't that what we want? Every child wants to go in the favor of their parents. They want their mother and their dad to approve of the things they do. They want their parents to love them. So they get to know them. They form a relationship with them. And they love their parents as much as their parents love them. But there are going to be challenges in our lives, aren't they? And just because there are challenges in our lives and our kids' lives, we don't stop loving each other, and God does not stop loving us either. And we can know that if we study his word, because he says so. He says so. God loved us first. He gave his only begotten son. He gave all that he was and all who he was. He gave it to become who I am in the flesh, that he might save me, that he might save my very life. I can't know that unless I look into God's word, because he tells me that. He tells me that. Seek and you shall find. Knock. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. And we've got to start seeking. We've got to start knocking. There should be a sense of wonder and a sense of awe to know that God has left us a personal message, a message about him and his life, his divine word, words of wisdom, words of patience and prudence, words of kindness and love and meekness and gentleness, words that we just can't even imagine. The things that God gives us from heaven are just wonderful things. Things that we couldn't make up, things that we just can't create, because God has already created those things. There's not a man on this earth that can create love. We can love, though. You can't create any love. There's not a man on this earth that can create unity. God has already put us together as one body. We're already there. Ephesians 4 says we just have to maintain the unity that's there already. We want to do too much when it comes to God's word instead of just hear what it has to say and obey. Hear it and obey. It gives me a sense of wonder and a sense of awe. Know that God has left us a biography of who he is, and I can know him. Think about that. Think about all the people in the world that God has created, those that have come before you and those that are going to come after you, and God chose you to get to know who he was. That's a wonderful thing. And all you have to do is just pick up his word, and he's going to be there. Pick up his word, and the Spirit of God is going to be there in your life, guiding you as you journey towards eternity. Jesus said in John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. It's essential for knowing God. It's essential to know that we are more than just mere existing people in this earth. That God is aware of who we are. And to know means more than just our existence. It means love and reverence and devotion and obedience and honor and gratitude and loyalty. All of that is coupled into God's word. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to you? How much does it mean to you? The true knowledge of God leads us to eternal life, and it's only found in his revelation of himself. Only there. And to know God, we've got to know his word. And to know his word, it requires study. Study. Let me tell you what the importance of knowing God is. All of us want the same thing. We really do. Even those that have not even understood the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they want the same thing. Here's what they want. Here's what we want. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10 says this. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, and flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God. Those who didn't do any Bible study, who didn't want to understand who God was, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Jesus is coming back to get those of us that believe. And won't it be wonderful? And isn't it good to know beforehand so that we can be prepared for the Lord's return? Bible study tells us that. The Bible campaign, it just contains the key to what true happiness is, to what true contentment is, and it gives us a peace of mind. God's word tells us in John 10:10 that we can have life and we can have it abundantly. We can have an abundant life. But we've got to understand the need of the information contained in the Bible to have a successful life. And for this information to be a part of our working knowledge, we've got to study the Bible. It's the only thing that completely fills the need of man. Nothing else does that. Look what the Bible provides for us. It provides for us a way of life. It provides for us a walk by faith. It provides for us a goal of heaven. To perform any act of service to God without a previous intelligent reception of his word to guide us, the act becomes just mere presumption. If we don't have God's word to guide us in a thing that's spiritual, how can we know? We can't know. It's essential for us to study the word of God for spiritual growth. And we command it to grow spiritually. If we're not growing spiritually, then we're dying spiritually. And if we're not growing, the condition may lead us to reject God and never ever come back to him, never return. The Hebrew writer says it's like a dog that's turned to his vomit. Never return to God. That's the danger. The danger of not growing as a Christian is not studying God's word. Because spiritual growth is inseparably attached to the growth of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of spiritual things. And the knowledge can only be obtained from the study of God's word. And we know who studies God's word and who doesn't, because it's an indicator of a healthy spiritual character. Examine yourself to see if that's you. Before we can adhere to the will of God, we've got to know what it is and what it means. Before the people in Nehemiah chapter 8 could adhere to the precepts of God and his law, they had to hear it all over again. They've been in captivity for 70 years. And God's law hadn't changed in those 70 years. It was still the same thing. And Nehemiah, with the priests and the Israelites, he stood and he read it again. And they understood it, and they wept, and they obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What about us? Can we adhere to God's will and go to heaven? Can we know what it means to have effective Bible study and a successful life as a result of it? How can you be led by God's Spirit if the words of the Spirit don't dwell in you? We've got to quench our spiritual thirst, church. We've got to quench our spiritual thirst at the source of all wisdom, which is God's word. That word which throws light upon all the darkness that's in our life. That word that throws light upon all the sin that's in our life. That word that throws light upon all the pollutions and the things that we don't think that appear in our life. That word of God throws light upon every problem that's facing man. It illuminates a path for us that only comes through Christ, who says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Christ can lead us to the heavenly city. And we can only know that if we study God's word. John 14, "I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you," he says, "I'm coming back for you. I'm coming back for you." And you can't know that unless you study God's word. Allow God's word to purify us, our hearts and our minds and our souls. And stop asking the question, Why do we have to come to Bible study? Why do we have to study the Bible at all? Study it for what? So we can be approved of by God. We don't want to be approved of by the world. They don't have a standard to approve us. They approve of anything. We've got to be approved of by God. He has a standard. And to be approved of by God, his standard is to study, to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Can you do that? Can you do that? Can you study God's word and be what God has called you to be? If you've been doing something for years and years upon end that you thought was right and you looked into God's word and you're just too stubborn to change, you need to change that. You need to repent of your sins. You need to weep with bitter tears because God's word is pure. Every word of God is perfect. And allow God to change your life. If we can help you tonight to do that, you need to understand that God calls us to hear his word, John 6:45. He calls us to believe his word, John 8:24. He calls us to repent of our sins, Luke 13:3-5. To confess Christ, Romans 10:9-10. He calls us to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. And we can't know that unless it's in God's word, Acts 22:16, Acts 2:38. We can't know that. God calls us tonight, church, to not shirk our responsibility, but to study his word that we might get to know him and get to know who we are as well in Christ Jesus. If we can help you tonight, why don't you come and we stand and sing invitation song.